Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the land to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of November 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the changing weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. He and his company, by the way, are helping us out next week at the Farm Assets Conference. And you want to stay put and with us for the afternoon because it could be a really good deal for you as a farmer or a small business person that handles farm operations. You'll want to stick around for that. We'll also talk today about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. And we'll hear from Carl Zuloff. He's penned an article for the Farm Doc Daily website that looks at the run-up in the price of corn and the build-out of the ethanol industry, how they coincide, and some surprising insights on how yield may have driven price during that same time frame. At least for me, we'll hear from Carl Zuloff on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are some of the numbers in Chicago for this Friday. December contract up 3.5 cents and the corn pit at $3.45.5. The March at $3.53.5, 3.75 higher. May futures $3.60 up 3.5 cents. July at $3.67.25 up 3.75. December at $3.82 up 3.5. January soybeans at $9.93.75 up 4.25. The March at $10.02.25 up 3.75. May up 3.25 at 10.10.5, and July soybeans at 10.16.5 up 2.5 cents. November at $9.92.75, down 0.25 cent. Bean oil 35 cents lower. Bean meal down $1.10. Wheat futures off, rather up 5.5 in the July at $4.53.75 for the soft red. The hard red up a nickel at $4.54 for the day. December live cattle at $108.30 up 7.5 cents. January feeders at $125.37.5 up 45. And lean hogs at $47.60, down or rather up 15 cents. The crude oil for the afternoon, trading December at $45.55 a barrel, up 13 cents. Ethanol 2.5 higher at $1.57. Diesel fuel at $1.45.5. That's up 0.8 cents. And the wholesale price of gasoline on the gallon, just about 0.5 cent lower at $1.33.7. This is Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist for the Illinois State Water Survey at the University of Illinois Prairie Research Institute. The statewide average temperature for November in Illinois so far is 52.6 degrees. That's 8.5 degrees above normal. The statewide average precipitation is 0.7 inches, and that's 41% of normal. Far southern Illinois is especially dry with almost no rainfall in November. The National Weather Service released their latest seasonal outlooks, and there are now La Nina conditions in the Pacific Ocean, and they are expected to continue through winter before fading in spring. For December, they have Illinois with equal chances of above, below, and near normal temperatures and precipitation. Their outlook for December through February shows that much of the state has an increased chance of being above normal on precipitation. Although they don't have a snowfall forecast per se, an increased chance of precipitation in winter can mean more snow. Their temperature outlook for this winter is equal chances of above, below, and near normal temperatures. In other words, there's no increased chance of being too cold or too warm this winter. The first winter storm of the season rolled through the Midwest on Friday and Saturday, bringing some rain, colder temperatures, and a chance of snow in northern Illinois, the first of the season. Highs across Illinois on Saturday and Sunday will be in the 40s, with overnight lows on Saturday night and Sunday night in the 20s. Highs for the rest of the week will be in the upper 40s and low 50s. This is state climatologist Jim Angel.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Great to be with you, Todd.
Hey, good to be with you. I see the cattle on feed numbers came out right on schedule, as U.S. has a tendency to do at 3 o'clock Central Time this afternoon. U.S. cattle on feed down 1%. What did you discern from all of the numbers?
You know, I felt like the placements number could have been a little bit lower because the range was 89.9 to 103.8. And out here anyway, what little I've heard is not a lot of activity. So I was expecting maybe a little bit lower, but not a bad number because it was still below the average trade guess. And I think that's what the trade's really looking at, because we have seen a breakout technically in the daily charts with the December fats leading. And with the marketings coming in at 105, that was a bit above the trade average guess. Still below the highest trade guess of 106.5. But I'd say between the placements and marketings, as long as corn doesn't get too excitable to the upside and limit the feeder gains, I would say the price premium they build in this week and the fat cattle should be able to hold. And I would think that the cash cattle with the colder temperatures would start to pick up a little bit more movement as well.
That'll be good news for cattle producers who have been under a lot of stress as of late.
Yes, and you know, it's one of those years. I've been talking to a lot of the livestock guys the last week, had one of my bigger cattle guys in this week in person. It's like 1998 all over again with both cattle and hogs. Not a good time. And those guys are suffering. And even though we have the formula pricing and a little bit less transparent market, quite a bit less transparent market, really, compared to back then, it's still a tough time for those guys and something to keep an eye on for the feed side for the corn and beans. And I think something we'll definitely need to hit, and I'm sure you'll bring up, because you do such a good job there at the Farm Assets Conference on Tuesday.
Yeah, so 1998 and 2002, both really bad years in the livestock industry, years when we saw headlines and at least in the agricultural world, whole stories about livestock producers not taking animals to the market and going ahead and eliminating animals simply because it was not economically feasible to feed them out. So rough time. I don't think we're quite at that place, but we're getting in some of those areas to a pretty tough time. So Farm Assets Conference, by the way, you're coming in for that next Tuesday. Really looking forward to having you there. Thank you so much for driving in. You'll be one of two that are coming in from further away. Kevin Van Trump from Kansas City, Missouri will be with us as well. And we should have some really good discussions. One of the things I want to make sure everybody knows about, Mike, is that we want folks to continue to sign up. We know that sign-up's been slow and lags behind last year. I'm not terribly worried about that, and I know that'll happen about maybe one out of every 3 to 4 years just based on what's happening in the field. Farmers remain in the field putting anhydrous ammonia on. Walk-ins are welcome the day of, but really if you believe you're going to come next week, it's best if you sign up. That way we can warn the hotel to make sure you have food and we have a big enough room, or we make sure that that room is sized correctly so that we can accommodate everybody. Okay, so Farm Assets Conference is next week. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. Our doors open at 9:30, so you need to be there at that time. If you want to come in for the Illinois Corn Growers meeting, that starts at 8 o'clock. It's all at the Marriott Hotel. Check out the details on the farmassetsconference.com website or at willag.org. So we've gone through, Mike, some of the cattle on feed numbers. Let's talk a little bit about what's happened in Chicago this week. On the week, what did the changes look like and what do they mean to you for corn, soybeans, and wheat?
We still felt the upside dollar pressure earlier in the week, but late in the week, Todd, I felt like those macro factors were really pushed back on quite a bit, and I think it was mainly due to two things. I mean, we had great export sales overall. Ethanol crush was great. NOPA crush, great. Soybeans sold to China again. Cash corn and bean basis really starting to pop. We can get into more detail if you like on that, but we've got the cash markets and the supply-demand fundamentals coming around nicely. And we were worried after the election, and we talked about this last week in Kansas City and on Commodity Week about the issue of the dollar, and that did indeed play out. But Thursday came out the Informa acreage numbers and also the new U.S. drought monitor. And I think to plug the assets conference, you're not going to get people like you're going to be able to get in one room on one day every day. This is one of the best and premier shows to have in one day. And I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about you, although I think we do a good job. But, Kevin's coming in. We've got the Bruce Sherrick usually comes. What a phenomenal presentation he always puts on from the U of I. My buddy Steve Erdman's coming in, and this year the chief operating officer of Straits Financial is going to be spending some time in my booth as well. Wonderful person, goes to Singapore, Asia, probably once or twice a month. Just great people to be able to talk to. And it goes back to these Informa acreage numbers. We've really set up a situation here where if bean acres are up 6% and corn acres are down 4%, and all wheat acres are down almost 7%, there's going to be some marketing decisions that I think you're probably going to have to make relatively soon, maybe even before Christmas. So my mantra, my mission this year in everything I do, whether it's seminars, radio, newsletter, whatever, is elevate your marketing plan this year. This is the year to do it. Make it as important as the seed technology you buy. Make it as important as the agronomy that you look at. Make it as important as those drones and those precision planting instruments you use. You've got to elevate your marketing plan, and there's a lot of people there to help you do that at this meeting.
Yeah, there will be a lot of people. So Bruce Sherrick, and I haven't talked about him, he will be there. In fact, he'll be leading one of the panels, and so Bruce's name is on the list of folks who'll be there. Agrible and Granular will be on that panel with him, and it'll be a lot about management and how to handle the big data. You know, for a very long time, the data has rolled out of the combines, is now rolling out of the planter as well, but farmers really haven't had a chance to use that data. Others have been able to manage to capture it, I think, in some forms, but farmers really haven't turned that back into something that's valuable to them. That management level will be something we'll explore at the Farm Assets Conference. Other things we should explore for the day. You said marketing prior to the end of the year. How much of the crop do you think they need to get in place?
Well, if you run through the bean acreage increase and you don't have a South American weather problem, and that's a big if, I realize that, but you got to start planning at this stage of the game because you're at profitable levels or near profitable levels in the soybeans once again for 2017. But if you have a 6% increase and a 49 bushel yield, you hold the carry-in steady with what USDA gave us, you hold the total demand steady with what USDA gave us for 16-17, you're dancing on a 600 million bushel carryover. And I know the first thing the guys are thinking right now is it always comes in high in beans and it always works down. And that's true. But we have gotten into a trend now that we see that the lower end of the number keeps going up. And so the higher end starts out higher these past 3 years. But it's just something to look at. And you brought up the big data. A lot of the time and focus of my presentations this year will be on big data and on strategic planning because they can bring, I think, real returns back to your marketing strategy. I have a wonderful slide that shows 50% of the futures volume was done back in 2009 through algorithmic trading. That number is now 80% as of 2015. If you think of that, Todd, you're thinking about a completely different market that we're dealing with. And yes, you're right. We've been dealing with big data, but have we really put it into our farming operation, into our marketing plan to make it work for us instead of making us reactionary and emotional and less disciplined? And I would argue, no, we haven't. And it's time to do that.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll see you here next Tuesday.
Sounds great. Watch the cash basis. It's really starting to pop in Atlanta. It's popping in Decatur. It's popping in Davenport, Iowa. And I'm talking mainly about corn really starting to come around nicely. So it's really something to watch here.
All right. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon.
This is Jim Angel. Stay.
You know, if you check on the FarmDoc Daily website this week, you'll find an article by Carl Zuloff. He's an agricultural economist at Ohio State. It relates to the ethanol industry, the build-out from 2005 to 2010, how that time frame differs from other times in the past, and what it can tell us about the ethanol industry going forward, as well as the price of corn. I called and talked with him about the article.
Well, my pleasure to be with you, Todd. The interest in this particular topic really is trying to understand where prices are going right now. That's an issue that I think farmers are very attuned to in the entire agricultural sector. And I think the first step in understanding where prices may go is to understand how you got to this particular point in time. And so that was the genesis behind the article.
So how did we get here?
The growth of the market is interesting in and of itself, Todd. But I think it's also interesting that right when the big impact of government policy was hitting, i.e. the mandates of 2005 and 2007, we saw yield growth suddenly slow in this country between 2005 and 2010. And that slowing of yield growth really provided was a very critical factor, I think, in why prices went up. For example, if you go back and you look at the 1980 to 2000 period, the year-over-year average change in yield was about 4.1%. During 2005 and 2010, it was a little over a half of a percent per year. And since 2010, it's been increasing more like it did from 1980 to 2000. It's now about a 3.3% increase. That does include this year with its very good yields. And so it wasn't just the growth in the demand for corn from ethanol that spurred prices higher in the post-2006 period. It was also the slowing in yield.
I made note that you did not take really into impact acreage growth in the United States in corn. Looking forward, now that we've ramped up also acreage for corn, will this make much of a difference to your price projections along with the increased rate at which yield appears to be growing again?
I think it has to raise in people's minds. It certainly raises in my mind the notion that we're going to have a slower growth in ethanol. It's going to be growth. I mean, I do think there's the good news here is that the market for ethanol appears to be organic. That means it can grow out of the private market. It doesn't just have to have public policy to drive it. But it's going to be much slower than what it was in the previous decade. Since 2010, the growth in corn processing ethanol has been a little over 1% per year, but that's significantly smaller than the rate of yield increase, which has been, as we said previously, at a little over 3% per year. And so that means it's going to be hard to put upward pressure on price, at least through the ethanol market. It's going to take ethanol plus other things such as exports, such as increased livestock demand. And so it has to raise in your mind that prices are probably going to have a lot more trouble than many people would like to think to really go higher off of current levels and may even work their way lower due to the pressure of increased yield, particularly if acreage doesn't adjust downward.
Thanks so much, Carl.
I appreciate being with you, Todd.
That's Carl Zuloff from The Ohio State University. You can read his thoughts on ethanol and the price of corn on the FarmDoc Daily website. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget about the Farm Assets Conference. It's coming up next Tuesday in Normal at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. And if you come and you're already a member of the Illinois Corn Growers Association, or you sign up there that day and you need to be there that day, the folks at Agrible and these booths will be right next to each other. We already moved them around in the last 2 hours or so. So this happens. We'll offer to you a free 1-year subscription to their Agribundle.
You can check all of that out online at agrible.com. It's worth about $2,000. Don't miss out on this right now. Speaking of Agrible, hey, thanks so much, very much. Eric, we really appreciate it. Eric Snodgrass is here. We're going to talk about the weather forecast. We do appreciate that. Let's start with the weekend and what's going to happen in Illinois.
Sure. So we got big changes coming right now. There is a really powerful cold front, and the temperature change behind that has been 25 to 30 degrees for a lot of locations. For us, it's going to get rainy tonight. There is a chance for some storms coming across central Illinois, but the big picture is going to be on Saturday and Sunday. You see, we haven't had cold weather around here in a while, and I just sent an email to Coach Lovie Smith because we've got this Illinois-Iowa game on Saturday midday. My email to him said, expect temperatures in the low 40s and expect really windy conditions. We already have a wind advisory right now, so expect sustained winds 25 to 30 miles an hour with gusts maybe getting up into the mid-30 mile an hour range. But that'll be short-lived because ahead of another weather system coming through midweek next week, we will see a brief warm-up. But it'll be a warm-up like we're getting right now on these strong southerly winds. Then we expect to see this weather system coming through Tuesday into Wednesday timeframe. It will go to the north of Illinois, which means we're going to see rain and not snow. But this is kind of the changes that we've been anticipating and watching for quite some time. The weather patterns are getting active. And as a result of that, I'm expecting a pretty decent pattern change for Wednesday. Now, we've been talking about the cold air being stuck in Siberia, and that's where it has been, and that's really pushed our strong Pacific jet stream, which has basically made us really warm for October and November. But this system that's coming through right now is going to displace a lot of warm air over Greenland. And if we start to move the warm air over Greenland, basically Greenland to the Hudson Bay, that allows for cooler air and a cooler pattern to settle in to the middle part of the United States. So I'm expecting a much more active jet stream, much more active winter storm track. And I'll just basically say this, December is not going to look like December of last year. So things are really starting to change up for that.
It takes care of the United States. Let's move a little further to the south. I saw a notice on, I think, my Twitter feed that said La Nina is here.
Yeah, so we do right now have a pretty weak La Nina setting up. The last time that we had a decent La Nina, a strong La Nina in the Pacific was back in 2010 to 2011. And now that La Nina caused a lot of problems for the South American crop. But the current La Nina is nothing like that. It is significantly weaker, and there's a lot of warmer water surrounding each side of that cooler tongue of water in the Central Pacific. So that makes us a little less concerned about the quantity of soybeans that we're expecting to come out of Brazil this year. Now, there is one thing that I'm watching. The northern growing regions have been recovering very well with their precipitation. They're ahead of schedule on plant. Things are looking pretty good. But over the next 7 days, 7 to 10 days, we are seeing some drying happening in the southern growing regions. And that could be a pattern I want to watch closely in the coming months, because there's a strong correlation with La Nina and heat and drought in the southern growing regions. But remember, this La Nina is weak, but it's something I'm still going to be paying attention to, because if we expect any adversity in the South American crop this year, it will most likely come from the southern growing regions of Brazil and the northern parts of Argentina. We'll watch it closely and keep you up to date.
Hey, Eric, thanks so much. And thanks so much for, I'll call it the gift for farmers and for Will Ag that you're making available to us next Tuesday at the Farm Assets Conference.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. I hope a lot of people show up and sign up. That'd be great.
All right. Thanks so much. That, of course, Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible. They'll be at the booth space right there and up on stage, too, at the Farm Assets Conference next Tuesday in Normal. Sign up today, farmassetsconference.com, willag.org.
WILL programming is made possible by your local DuPont Pioneer team, committed to providing the products and agronomic insights farmers need to achieve success, investing in innovative traits and technologies to meet the needs of a growing population. Pioneer, with you from the word go.
It's St. Peter the Apostle Day, patron of bakers, butchers, fishermen, harvesters, and foot problems. On this day in agricultural history in 1307, the legendary William Tell shot an apple from his son's head in order to avoid execution for failing to bow before a hat on a pole on the local square belonging to the Habsburg Emperor. Historians continue to argue over the saga generally. The story is considered fiction. In 1805, Lewis and Clark reached the Pacific Ocean, the first Americans to cross a continent. Over a two-year period, the expedition covered 8,000 miles. Upon their return to St. Louis, they received a hero's welcome and grants of land. The Sacagawea received no compensation for her services. In 1810, Asa Gray was born, a leading American botanist of his time. He was a strong supporter of Darwin. In 1874, the Women's Christian Temperance Union was formed in Cleveland, Ohio. In 1966, American Roman Catholics were no longer required to abstain from eating meat on Fridays, but the prohibition continued on Ash Wednesday and Fridays during Lent. And in 1970, Linus Pauling declared that large doses of vitamin C could keep the common cold at bay. Pauling concluded that the best daily intake of vitamin C for most people was between 2.3 grams and 10 grams a day, well above the recommended daily allowance. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. With nearly 150 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Yesterday afternoon, we recorded Commodity Week. Our panelists included Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, from right here in Champaign County, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. We started with this question. I asked Wayne Nelson if he thought there'd be as much of an acreage shift as Informa reported earlier.
Well, I think it is, Todd. I mean, we looked this year and we saw not great corn yields, but we saw tremendous bean yields, number one, and we saw good bean prices and terrible corn prices. So basically, the farmer's going to be a little short of cash going into the spring. If the price relationship stays the same, we're going to see more people planting beans and corn.
Wrong. I saw a farmer survey of 53 farmers. And 36% will not switch. They're going to stay in the rotation. 38% need $75 more per acre, and the other remaining need at least $50 per acre. So, no, Wayne's correct. Maybe more in the fringe areas. They're pushing the pencil. We'll see what the local cash situation is from area to area. But we will probably lose some corn acres and gain some bean acres. To what matter, we'll figure that out this winter.
Well, I think the economics are there. If you look at the new crop prices, for example, and compare it to last year's February prices for crop insurance, we're about a dollar above those prices on soybeans, and we're a little bit under those prices on the corn. So the economics are there. But I believe there was some switch last year already because the economics were kind of there last year as well. So I'm not sure we're going to see those big numbers like we saw Informa talk about today. I think there will be some switching, but I'm not sure it'll be that large.
How much pressure will the crop from South America, both corn and soybeans, put onto the marketplace for old crop, what I'll call old crop or the current crop marketing year?
Well, I think that kind of depends on the competition or competitive place that the U.S. has in the world. Right now, we're very competitive on corn. We've got a lot of competition on corn around the world, but we're price-wise, we're about the cheapest corn in the world. On soybeans, we're there too. That's probably going to change as we move into January, February, and that's where I think it affects the markets the most, is on the cash side and us being able to get those exports out when we get into where the South American harvest starts coming in.
Bill Mayer, of course, is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. Kurt, is there much of a differentiation from one side of the nation to the other as it relates to cash price and basis?
Yeah, we're seeing the typical East versus West. Here in the East, we've firmed up quite a bit. We've had an aggressive export market. Ethanol guys have been real aggressive booking some inventory. I think a lot of this cash grain's been moved or booked for lease till end of the year. The Western Belt is another story. Rail transportation is actually fairly decent, but they were slow getting the crop out, and they've got a lot of inventory to go through. So the function of the market in here is probably move a little bit of the grain from the west to the Eastern Belt over time.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities and Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing joined us for this week's edition of Commodity Week. You can always hear the whole of our program online. The address there is WILLAG.